Hey everybody, Rob here, getting ready to talk with Laura and Sierra on some special bonus coverage of Survivor San Juan del Sur. But before today's show, I want to take a moment and play a promo for you for one of the other shows here on Podcast One, the Kathy Lee Gifford podcast. They've been good enough to promote Rob as a podcast on their shows this week, so I felt like I could only return the favor. So here's a promo for the Kathy Lee Gifford podcast, also here on Podcast One.
Have you heard who's been on Kathy Lee and Company?
Here's Kris Jenner to say why she came on with her old friend.
Because you made me.
Ricky Gervais.
Hello.
Hello. Hugh Jackman, I am delighted you are here.
I'm happy for you to continue there.
Regis Philbin, that's right.
What are we doing here?
Dennis Miller, everybody.
How you doing, Kathy Lee?
Andy Cohen.
I rescued a dog.
William Shatner.
Kathy Lee.
Miss Hoda Woman herself. Mr. Glenn Beck with me.
It's not going to be boring.
Download an episode now at podcastone.com.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here, back with some special bonus coverage of Survivor San Juan del Sur. And here we are, right on the brink of the Survivor finale. And we have a very, very fun show here for you today, because we are going to be speaking with Laura Moret and Sierra Easton from the original Survivor Blood vs. Water, the mother and daughter pair who saw Sierra vote out her own mother on the original Survivor Blood vs. Water. And we're going to take a look at what they think about the new mother and daughter Survivor Blood vs. Water pair. And that would be Baylor and Missy as they head into the final five. So that's a lot of fun getting ready for the finale. Can't believe the Survivor finale is going to be on Wednesday night. And of course, the coup de grace of the Survivor finale is going to be when we reveal who will win the Survivor of Rob Has a Podcast fan favorite player of the season for San Juan del Sur. And I announced it on social media, on my Twitter profile on Sunday, but we finally have it printed and ready to go. The winner of the Survivor fan favorite Rob's podcast player of the season will win the official prize, which is a Rob as a Podcast fan favorite player of the season throw pillow, which is a really, really elegant way to accent any room. All your friends will be so jealous. When you flip it over, it says on the back, you are basically a badass. So it's going to be highly coveted. Make sure you get your votes in before Wednesday night. I know a lot of people were having problems with the short link I created the other day. So you can go ahead and go to robhasawebsite.com/POTS player of the season 29. So that link should work, shouldn't give you any problems. And if not, I'll post a link on this show page that'll go directly there. So robhasawebsite.com/POTS player of the season 29. I've seen some of the survivors are retweeting things. So the campaigning is on. Everybody wants the coveted Rob Has a Podcast fan favorite player of the season throw pillow. So and, you know, with some of these blood and water pairs, you know, they're going to want to share it in the same house, like Jeremy and Val or Josh and Reed if they live together. So it's going to be very, very coveted. And I can see a lot of arguments happening between all of these pairs. All right. So Wednesday night is the Survivor finale. We're going to have our Survivor know-it-alls at 11:15. Then don't miss all of the exit interviews as well. On Thursday, it's going to be very, very fun. I can't wait. I'm going to talk to the final five, all pretty much like bang, bang, right in a row. So it's going to be rapid fire for me on Thursday morning. Make sure you don't miss any of those shows. Make sure you subscribe to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for our subscription to Rob Has a Podcast. And before we bring Laura and Sierra on, if you're going to need to do some holiday shopping as we're talking with Laura and Sierra, don't forget the robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to do this because I feel like this is the perfect time to bring in the OG Survivor Blood versus Water mom and daughter. Here they are. Let's bring in. It is Laura and Sierra. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Rob?
Hi.
How's it going? Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Yes. How are you?
We're good. We're getting ready for the holidays, and We're sitting here with
Sierra's
little boy, Landon.
Hi, Landon. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Are you happy your mom's not on Survivor right now? Yeah. Oh my God. Well, first off, very happy to be talking to you guys because this is really the perfect time. We're right here on the precipice of the Survivor finale, and we have a mom and daughter here in the final five. So you are exactly the two people I want to talk to right now.
Yeah, we are excited to talk about it.
Good, good. First off, everything going good outside of Survivor?
Life is good, really busy. Nothing really new. We went to Arizona last week, enjoyed
Arizona on Thanksgiving and enjoyed the sunshine and got to hang out together and, you know, just living the days.
Okay, good. All right. Well, let's talk about this final five, which includes, of course, Missy and Baylor, mom and daughter, who have taken a very different path in their relationship, seemingly, to get to where they are than what you guys had on the original Blood versus Water. So I just want to sort of just open it up and have you guys, I'd love to get your take on Missy and Baylor so far.
I'm glad that you recognize that it was a different path, because so many people have asked us, oh, comparing the mother and daughter, you guys are the same. And Sierra and I keep talking and we said, you know what? We've had two completely different journeys than what they have. I think we looked it up. They got together on day 11 was when Missy and Baylor got to play together.
And they've been playing together ever since. And our experience was very different because I felt like, my mom and I only played a total of maybe 7 days together in the game. And we kind of were responsible for our own individual game. I kind of had my thing going on. She was trying to, you know, survive at Redemption Island. It was very individual, I felt like, in some cases. And they definitely had each other to kind of lean on, strategize with. Missy definitely seemed more likable at the beginning than Baylor did. And I think that might have helped Baylor early on.
Yeah,
get her a little bit further. And I think that the experiences were way, way, way different.
Way different. I think that, I mean, our experience was we came out of the shoots. And I mean, you saw on day one, they voted my name out. And mm-hmm. then I got Redemption Island two times. We both had huge targets, whether we liked it or not, on our backs from day one. And we were constantly jumping like Frogger across the street, log to just stay alive in the game. And viewing it, it doesn't appear that neither one of them really had a target on their back. I think that Baylor might have got sent home earlier just because people didn't like her. And she had conflict with cast members. But it didn't seem like they had a huge target on their back like we did with ours.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that we were better players because we made it further. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying our games
were way more individual than theirs were. And I don't know. I felt like even their relationship, you know, being mother-daughter is way different than my mom and I's is. I learned a lot out there about myself, and I had a lot of, like, growth. And I don't know. Just, like, I didn't really feel like I was Team Moret with my mom. I really felt like I played a game for Sierra Easton, and I kind of see, like, Missy and Baylor are more of a team. And not really like any growth or strategic depth it's just very different. They're obviously doing something right to have made it, you know, as far as they've made it. I just don't know if either of them have a shot of winning.
But a good example of something different was the sumo, the challenge where they had to push each other off the platforms. And, you know, Missy goes after her daughter and like touches her with the little pillow on the lip and she starts crying. Then Missy feels bad, and then she lets her daughter win, and then clearly Baylor throws this Jervis celebration. Remember, he's like, yay! Baylor throws the things down on the ground, and it's just like, that's how you do it, because her mom let her have it, because her mom was worried that Baylor was going to cry on national TV in front of everybody, and as you can see, that is not how Sierra and I went at it.
My mom, Missy, seems to baby Baylor a little bit. I don't know if it's because of like their history as mother-daughter, and maybe she's trying to make up for some things maybe she's done to Baylor, but I kind of see her kind of babying her. And my mom in no way, shape, or form would ever let me win. When we were little, I always tell people this, literally, we would play board games, and my mom would not only win, but she would like rub it in our face. So I just learned at like a young age to kind of like, you know, that she's not going to let me win, and, you know, and I have to kind of do it for myself. And that was kind of the best part for me, is being able to do it by myself. It was way more of an accomplishment than having my mom hand me things or help me through things.
Well, we, for all season long, we sort of said, do we think at some point will Baylor pull a Sierra and at some point vote against her mom? And we said, okay, well, maybe that's her story. Maybe at some point she will go ahead and, you know, she'll turn the tables on her mom, and that's what she'll need to do to sort of gain respect in the eyes of the jury. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like that, you know, Baylor is going to stick with Missy the whole way through.
And I don't think that Missy would even let Baylor write her name down. She would say, no, nobody write my name down. I'm not going to let my daughter write my name down. I'm going to go out of this game. I don't think that she would ever make her daughter make that hard decision for herself.
I also think, though, in Baylor's, like, I think that Baylor it would be capable of doing that. I can see her now, just recently, kind of, just when she had the last episode, had the conversation with her mom about, look, we want to get rid of John. I can see her now kind of starting to be like, okay, I'm seeing the end line. I'm seeing, you know, maybe what I need to do.
Yeah.
And I kind of was wondering if she would vote out her mom. If anybody was going to do it, I thought it was going to be her who would do it.
Yeah, one of the things that came up in my exit interview with John was that he had said that at the final five, they sort of had an agreement of heading to the final five where they had the two couples and then they had Natalie, and they were going to go down to the final five. And then they were going to have, they had prearranged, Baylor was going to get voted out and Jacqueline was going to get voted out.
I read that. And they were going to throw themselves on the sword for the other person.
Yeah. What do you guys make of that? Is that smart strategy, or is that something that you shouldn't be messing around with?
Okay. All right. So this is what I think. I think it is smart strategy to get to the end, because it is kind of like, hey, look, we're talking to Natalie. I mean, you could say, hey, Natalie, look, we're willing to do this. So you have a spot in the final three, because Natalie might be thinking, hey, when we get down to five, I'm out. I don't know. I think it's a smart thing to say. I personally would not have fallen on the sword for my mom. And I wouldn't expect her to fall on the sword for me. And when we got to that point, it'd have been like, okay, may the best woman win. But if you're in a situation, maybe like Missy and Baylor is, where Missy has hands down a way better chance of getting votes than Baylor,
right?
It might be smart. But I would be saying, if you win $1 million, you're giving me a lot of it.
But But remember, we did talk about on the island. I mean, we definitely had conversations of who has a better shot of winning when we were still together on the island right before they voted out. And Sierra and I had this heart to heart of who has a better shot of getting further in the game. Not that one of us by any means was going to bow out, but we knew that one of us was going to get axed. And how can we push the other one further in the game at that point, but yet still stay alive? So remember we had that conversation of, and Sierra said, Mom, I'm in a good spot. I have Hayden and Caleb, and I have Tyson and I have Jervis. I'm in a really good spot. And I was like, well, I basically just have you. So it looks like you have probably a better shot of going further, but I wasn't about to quit. But that's the beauty of being able to play with the loved one, is having a whole nother set of eyes that can be brutally honest with each other, that says, okay, let me hold up a mirror and tell you, show you your game. And let me hold up a mirror and show you your game, so that
I wonder, though, something when I first heard that in John's interview, I wonder if John, if roles were reversed, if John would have been as willing to fall on the sword for Jacqueline.
Oh, no, I don't think he would have.
Not that I don't think he loves her, just that, like, I kind of see him kind of, like, if Jacqueline had more friends in the jury, I don't know if he would have actually done it for her. So I would, if I were Jacqueline, I kind of would be thinking, like, well, wait a second, Jacqueline doesn't have a terrible shot at winning by any means. And now, obviously, now John's gone. Right. But I'm just saying, if it were me and my fiance, I would want to know that he would, you know, I don't know. I just feel like...
Well, she did make the merge. Nobody wants to date somebody that doesn't make the merge.
That's right.
She did make it.
So let's say you guys were in this situation in the final five. Would you guys be thinking about, like, well, let's figure out which one of the two of us has the better chance to win the game and then have the other one go out and go to the jury? Or would you guys be saying, like, hey, let's both get to the end and figure out what's the best chance for us to both sit in the final three?
let's both get to the end, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Sierra's hesitating.
She hesitated. What would you say?
I can see benefits in both ways. I don't know what I would do, actually. It's hard to say. If you were on the jury, it would be obviously another
right,
vote
but if we
for
were,
me.
But let's put ourselves in actually Missy and Baylor. Like, you know how you're Baylor and I'm Missy. And I know who likes me on the jury and who doesn't.
Right. And if I were Baylor and I wanted to win, I'd get rid of my mom.
Because,
yeah, you know, Laura, did you see that Sierra said that you were the one that was on the jury? She didn't even say if it was me on the jury.
Yeah, I know. I'm just
saying, I feel like you have to play your own game. For Missy or for Baylor's game, she should vote. They should get rid of Missy because Missy's going to get more votes than Baylor. So it's like,
right.
I don't know.
That's why I would want you next to me because I know I'm going to get more votes than Baylor.
Yeah,
as
right.
a mom.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In Missy's situation, Missy would be going, I want to bring Ben. But then again, mothers always see their kids as perfect. I wonder if Missy is still thinking that Baylor is this her perfect child that everybody loves, that everybody mothers think that, you know, everybody loves their kid. Or does she have the perspective of an actual player in the game that says, man, Baylor, you didn't make a lot of friends out there?
I don't really see Missy as playing to win. I see Baylor more so playing to win. Missy just had that conversation with Baylor, and
yeah.
She's like, Mom, we got to get John out. You know, if he can beat you. And she pretty much was like, well, I don't care. Like, I'm going to be loyal to John. I don't care. It's like, you should care.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It really is. I wonder also, does Missy want to protect Baylor from the final three questions? Because the jury can be tough, especially if there's a Laura Moret out there. They can ask some tough questions, right? Does Missy want to protect Baylor from having to be up there in that spot?
Missy seems to want to protect Baylor in everything that goes on.
Yeah. You know what, though? I'm not in a mean way, but I honestly don't even think that Missy has thought that far. I honestly don't think that has a concept of how this game really works. To where she's even thought about the jury part of it. The only person that I can see watching the game that has done that is Natalie. I mean, Natalie is just, she every move that she seems to make is calculated. John did, because obviously he was preparing his speech. Lynn and stuff. But I don't even know if Missy's even thought two spaces ahead yet as to what could happen to her daughter from the jury people. I don't think she has. I don't know why I don't. I just...
All right, so tell me how you think this is going to go on Wednesday night now. So we have the final five, and we have Missy and Baylor who are together, and then we have the other three people. So just take this apart for me from five and get it down to a final three. How does this go?
Well, I think that challenge-wise, the challenges are going to be between Keith and Natalie. I see it going to Natalie, though. She seems to me like she's been holding back. But I think she's ready to, like, click on, not that she hasn't been winning, but I can just see she has a lot more to bring to the challenge. So I see her winning. And then maybe who would go? I see, if I were Natalie and I won the challenge and I have the relationship with Missy and Baylor, I wouldn't want to break those two up. Because first off, I don't want one of them in the jury as one of the votes for them. Second off, I can beat them both. So I see her keeping Missy and Baylor a little bit longer and then maybe just getting rid of Keith. Maybe Jack. I don't know. What do you think?
I'd get rid of Jacqueline because
of John.
Because of
John. I guess there's Wes in there too. I don't know.
I think that at this point, Missy and Baylor are going to the final two because they're the goats. Nobody is going to want to break them up, and everybody's going to want to sit next to either one of them. I mean, to have two people that you'd want to sit next to at the end is just crazy. And then to have two people that would split votes because they're from the loved one couple is even double on your side. So. I don't see anybody splitting the two of them up.
I could see Jacqueline going next, and then maybe, either Natalie or what, or Keith winning a challenge and taking Missy and Baylor.
And you know what? You know this, Rob. It all comes down to the challenge.
Yeah.
Who knows what the challenge is going to be? You have three strong. Well, I don't. Baylor is not bad in challenges at all. I mean, she's won challenges, so she could potentially win a challenge. But you're looking at Natalie and Keith, who have been extremely strong in challenges. And it just all comes down to the luck, for lack of a better word, of whatever that final challenge may be, the final challenges.
Okay, so So you, I think you guys are on the same page as me that we are definitely looking at Baylor and Missy in the final two. And then it comes down to who is the third person that's sitting next to them.
Yes.
I forgot. Does anybody have an idol?
Natalie. Natalie has the idol.
But she's for sure guaranteed one spot further because she can't use it after four people.
Yeah.
So she's going to be at least top four.
Top four, sure. Baby. Yes.
And then she just has to beat, you know, what the one other person who's with her, who's probably going to be, if they're smart, they'd get rid of Keith because he's in better challenges so far than Jacqueline is.
Yeah.
And so Natalie can take Jacqueline out.
All right, so let's say hypothetically Jacqueline makes it to the final three with Baylor and Missy. Can Jacqueline win the game against Baylor and Missy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think anybody could at this point. I mean, if you look at the people sitting on the jury, you know that Josh had that whole thing where he kept Baylor along and then Baylor never repaid his favor. So he's already kind of bitter about it. Then you have, who else is going to be out there? John, who's going to be mad at
Jeremy.
Who's going to be mad at both of them, and I was obviously going to vote Jacqueline. And
Wes, Keith do not like the girls.
But also, they don't really have a resume to, well, what are they going to say when they get to the final two? I've made it this far. Like, I can't think of something that they could really say, I forced this vote. Maybe Baylor could say, I convinced my mom to turn on John.
But we don't know if she turned up. Well, yeah.
But they don't really have a built-up resume, whereas at least Jacqueline can say, I was major head lead with my fiance and getting each and every one of you out. You know, me and him, partners, I told him to do this, I told him to do that. She at least has like a resume built up, I feel like.
Who would win in the final three if it was Missy, Baylor, and Monica Culpepper?
Monica.
Monica, oh my God.
I don't even
Monica know. At least won challenges.
She and everybody liked her.
And she's a neat lady.
She absolutely is. We all liked her. Nobody. She had not one enemy out there. Everybody loved Monica. You were just irritated just because she didn't do, you know. She's in the same category as Missy and Baylor. Our perception is you don't really see them doing anything. You just, you know.
Them maybe getting carried.
Yeah, I guess. Making it to the end. But at least everybody loves Monica.
What if it was Baylor, Missy, and Shambo?
What about Russell?
Is Shambo winning Survivor Blood versus Water?
No, she let our chickens out. She lost our snorkel. I'm still not over that. No, I would say Missy.
Missy, wow. Laura, what do you make of Missy with this injury where she sprained her ankle or twisted her ankle and they, you know, talked about potentially taking her out. She didn't want to go out. Do you commend her for staying in the game and toughing it out? Or do you think that she should be pulled from the game?
I commend her, but what she hurt her ankle. Big deal. Everybody gets hurt out there.
Yeah.
What I commend is you have to have the medics. I filmed with a torn Achilles tendon my first season, a completely torn Achilles tendon. Nobody knew it. I didn't need the doctors. It's the matter of, but well, here's what I thought. It was kind of a Tyson move because remember when Tyson got hurt, we all thought, oh, poor Tyson. He's not a threat anymore. He's this injured little lamb. No, he wasn't. He was like a wolf in disguise because he walked around with his little arm in his sling.
And he milked it.
So everybody was all like, oh, Tyson, you don't have to get water. You're hurt. Tyson, lay down. But Missy is kind of that same way now. Nobody thinks she's a threat in challenges.
Well,
honestly, she probably is.
Laura, do you think she's faking it?
No, I don't think she's faking it.
But she's milking it.
Yeah, I do.
Everybody carry her to tribal council?
Well, she looks weak right now. You do not want to go up against somebody that is physically strong in the last challenges, and she looks weak. I don't think that even if her ankle was not hurt, she could win a challenge anyway. But still, at least she's even less of a threat now.
So do you think in the final tribal council, people will say, oh, poor Missy, that she got hurt, but she stuck it out. She's tough. Or do you think they'll say, oh, she didn't even have to compete in any challenges down the stretch?
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
big deal. Everybody gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's part of this game. We don't get our ankles wrapped. When we get hurt, we have to buck up and keep playing. And, you know, I mean, it just kind of sucked. I read something that Jeff Probst wrote, said that because they were so far along in the game that they decided to let her continue. If it would have been early on, they would have definitely pulled her up. They would have definitely pulled her out of the game because they knew she couldn't have lasted the duration. And, you know, it's, I don't know.
What do you think about that? Should they not have, should it not depend on what day of the game it is? Or is it the kind of thing where it should be, if you have a certain injury, you're pulled and there's no gray area?
I feel like it should be that, because honestly, I've kind of had the feeling this entire season that, like, you know, when they got out of, they ran out of right, there's lots of like deals and bartering. And I feel like it kind of took away from like, what you're out there to do. And it's like, if you run out of rice, go out there and catch some freaking food. Like, it's like, you, I didn't get more rice.
We didn't even have rice in my first season. And I was like, you're complaining because your whole bag of rice is gone, you piglet. You ate a whole bag of rice in like a week, but, and you're complaining.
And also, like, they give her a boot, and like, I don't know if that seemed very fair. No. To even be out in the elements and have a boot on, like, that would have been,
no, you need to tap out with nothing. If they can't wrap, they couldn't wrap us. They didn't give us anything. And if you had to tap out because you can't walk around, then you're tapped out. They can't give you a...
And I don't think it matters that it's as far along in the game as it is. I feel like, I mean, maybe for telling a story-wise or, like, numbers-wise, I get why they would want to do it, but at the same time, it doesn't seem fair. I would have been like,
I should say that. On my season in Samoa, Mick, on day, I want to say 30, maybe it was 30, had some medical attention given to him because he was dehydrated severely and was having trouble going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So he had some medical attention given to him that nobody else did. And it's just kind of one of those things where you're like, okay, wait a second.
It should be fair the board, black and white rules.
Nothing. You look at me, if you can't soak it in salt water or rub some dirt in it, you're not going to get a Band-Aid or a boot.
Now, is Mick upset that even though he made the final three, he's not featured on the DVD cover of the new Survivor Samoa DVD on Amazon?
I don't think so. I think that he's pretty successful in his, where he's at with his medical field. He's pretty okay with it.
Because I see a Laura Moret very prominently placed in the lower center. That's a good spot on that DVD.
And you saw the little troll is in the little corner. He's had a little tiny corner of the box. That I'm sure he hates that.
I've got some Russell, Natalie White. Even Jason, Russell Swan, and Laura.
I know. There we go.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, it's a weird picture of Russell that they picked out. Did he have his hat in Samoa? He looks...
That's when those little fedora hats started getting big, and he had his little leprechaun hat.
Yeah, they have him with his buff on. Yeah, he looks like he's going swimming. So who are you guys rooting for on Wednesday?
Oh,
Keith. I want Keith, and then I want Natalie.
Why Keith?
Because Keith has just been his true self the whole way through. So many times they show little snippets of him just kind of telling people the way that it is. He wasn't fake. He wasn't necessarily mean to people, but he just kind of told it like it was. He's had a target on his back. Done good in challenges. He was going to give his idol to his son that one day. I like the underdog, and I like good old country boy Keith.
If Keith won Survivor, who would be the better Survivor winner, Keith or Natalie White?
Or Natalie White?
Yeah.
Keith, yeah.
And if Natalie won, who would be the better Survivor, Natalie? Natalie from season 29 or Natalie from season 19?
Oh, Natalie season 29. Not that Natalie wasn't a good winner. Just, you know, Natalie didn't have to make big moves. She put herself behind somebody, meaning the Manahuni, that was going to just plow through the game. And she was smart enough to say, I want to get behind this brother because I know he's going to want to make it to the end. And she was smart enough to do that. She made lots of friends. And
Natalie 29's definitely taken more risks.
Oh, totally.
Been more into the game, more aggressive in the game.
She's had a strategy.
And I think that is, in the game of Survivor, I think you get more credit for playing a game. Not, in my opinion, I don't think one is better than the other, but I think generally speaking, when you're trying to get jury votes, the more aggressive gameplay that gets you to the end is more respected.
Okay. Right. And fortunately and unfortunately, you can't go in there saying, this is how I'm going to play, because all the characters that you are playing with determine kind of how you're going to have to play. Like Jacqueline, for example, she could have taken control of her and John's situation, but she didn't have to. John was making decisions. Doesn't mean she didn't know how to or couldn't. John just did. And so why should she step up and put a target on her back and all of a sudden start bossing people around if she had somebody else doing it?
This is something else that is kind of random, but kind of not random, that me and my mom were talking about. It also is really a different season because when you're not playing with returning players, it changes a lot. I mean, as far as I'm seeing, like watching the game, I was thrown into competing not only against people who have done this before, been here before, know how the game works, but then at the same, it's like the learning curve changes. I didn't have as long to like learn the game because everybody was learning it. You jump in and you need to learn it because half the people already know the game and they're playing way more hard. The veterans play way harder than the newbies because they know what to expect. They know what to do and they know how to, you know, what needs to be done. So I felt compared to Baylor, I had a way bigger task ahead of me than Baylor had.
But wasn't it harder for the people this season because they never saw the show before? Isn't it hard that you've never even seen the show before and then you have to play the game?
Well, I think they should have seen it.
They saw it.
They watched Survivor.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, to watch it again, sometimes I am wondering if they've seen it before and they knew what they were getting into.
But I think Natalie thought she was going on Amazing Race.
She's done a good job. Maybe you could say her sister.
Maybe her sister. No, maybe they thought they were going on to like the taste and they were going to just eat all the rice.
I don't know. But what Sierra's point is absolutely valid.
No, I get it.
Yeah. It's way, I haven't played with just new people, but I have played with some. And you can very clearly see the difference between those who haven't played before and those who had. And just even down to the smallest things, it was way more difficult, I think, playing with the people who played before.
And not to mention just the intimidation factor, mind game of them knowing they already probably have a fire. They have their camp built. They know how to play. And we don't even know, you know, where the bamboo trees are.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. No, that's the thing. I mean, the fans versus favorites always ends up being sided on the returning favorites because they know so much more about the game. And even on your season, it was a little bit more fair, at least like through osmosis of being like all like related or married to a Survivor player. You've learned more than the average person coming in. But yeah, it's definitely even the person who's played, you know, 3, 6, 9 days has, you know, way more experience over somebody who's just coming in the first time.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Right. What about you? Are you liking the blood versus water idea?
Well, no, I don't like it as much as the first time around. I feel like, you know, I don't want to say that this has been a brutal season or anything like that, because it's been unpredictable, but I feel like it was the casting I don't think was as great as the first time around. I think it's hard to find two people that are interesting in these loved ones couples.
And exactly.
And
you know, one thing that I kind of noticed was in our season, they definitely made it, and Jeff even told Marissa this, that it was kind of Survivor light because the loved ones weren't necessarily that type A personality that wanted to do something to, like Survivor, but they were related or married to somebody that was. And so they kind of made it a little lighter. And I think they even went a more extreme to this season, to where they even made it more Survivor light, to where, you know, like you said, maybe one person was kind of wanting to do Survivor and the other person kind of wanted to as well. You didn't have that diehard, I want to do Survivor.
You don't have somebody who's diving into the game, like, you know, out, if you don't even see them out in the elements a lot, out, you know, I don't know, normally, like at least playing with people who played before, I was following and learning, okay, this is how I make a shelter, this is how, you know, I'm going to go fishing, even, like, things like that, I felt like,
And I think that really affects viewers watching the game when they're looking at people on the island. They're like, this doesn't really look that hard. Even though Julie, you know, quit because it was raining and her hair was getting wet. She didn't like that. And so she quit, which annoys me to no end when people quit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it takes away some of the game when you don't have those brutal elements of just seeing the people starving and getting irritated with each other because they're not eating.
Well, Blood vs. Water seems way more about the relationships.
Right.
Yeah. Which is great and worked fine. But, like, since we've already kind of seen it before with season one, I feel like this season is, like, or, you know, our season, this one is a little bit different because it's kind of predictable.
Laura, how mad does it make you when you see somebody like Julie who quits after one day of rain when you guys went through everything you went through in Survivor Samoa?
It's so hard to watch because you don't want to just all of a sudden act like you're some toughie and you've done it better, but you're looking at them and you almost want to say, "Why? What did you think this was? Did you think that you were never going to get wet one day?" And not only that, they were still eating. They had food. We didn't even have food. And I hate to sound like, oh, we were just like the hardest season. We rained 5 days straight and we never got rice the entire season.
Yeah. Russell Swan almost died.
I know. I was witnessed it. And then you see people that are like, this is so hard. It's taking everything out of me. And you know what? We all have our own journeys. We all have our level of being tough and what we can handle. But then you're like, oh, why? I know I would be frustrated if I had never done the show and I was wanting to still do it really, really bad. And I see these people that get on and then they quit. It would just make my skin crawl to know that happened. Irritate me.
Okay. I want to ask you guys about something serious now. So one of the things that John said, either in his exit or in his Ponderosa video, that he said that one of the reasons why he trusted Missy so much was because that they bonded over their faith. And that was one of the things that he felt like he could trust Missy because they had these bonds and their relationship was based on more than just a handshake, that, you know, they were talking about, you know, a shared common faith. And I know you guys are very pronounced in your own faith, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And so what do you guys make of that, just as terms of just putting it in perspective of the game of Survivor and, you know, sharing those bonds when those things come up with other people? You know, is that fair play to be able to, you know, you find somebody and you feel like you have a shared bond and that shared bond is faith, and then be able to then double cross somebody? Maybe they didn't engage in that alliance because of, like, it wasn't like Missy said, okay, I'm going to mislead him, but they do have a certain bond because of it. And then she goes back on that.
You want me to take that, Sarah?
Go for it.
Okay. So a good example of that for me was my season with Natalie. The first season was Natalie has a really strong faith. She loves Jesus, sees her savior. And so we have a lot in common. But yet she also blindsided me and wrote my name down. That's the thing about being a professing your faith to being a Christian, is we're all sinners. That's why we need a savior. So that's what I would say. It's like, that's why I have Jesus as my savior, because I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And that's just part of Brandon. Sorry, my grandson's. That's just part of the faith and a maturity going into this that I'm sure John has, and I'm sure Missy did too, was, look, at, I love that we both love and believe in the same thing, but we're also going to play a game here. And in real life, do I, you know, look at your face, tell you one thing and do something different? Absolutely not. Am I, doesn't mean, hopefully, and I think that we've seen this in both John and Missy, they are not mean-spirited people. They've been kind to people out there that I've seen. And it's your actions that's going to show your faith, as well as, you know, you tell somebody, I'm not going to vote you out. You got to do it because it's a game.
I don't ever like hearing like, well, like, because like last season they did the whole, you know, we were police officers, we're both police officers. So like, what do you think that means? Like, so what? We're both girls. Like, I don't think that all that that should do for your game is grab something that you can grab a hold of to build a relationship with. But that doesn't mean that in 2 seconds you wouldn't vote them out. You're here to win $1 million. And even something like religion or faith, I feel like Missy, it seems like a genuine thing she has. And that's a great thing to have out there in general, is to have that faith in somebody who has that in common with you to talk about, you know, to pray with, to, it's just refreshing. But at the same time, you're there for a reason. And there's nothing in the Bible that says don't vote people out. And like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't even like that somebody would feel betrayed because of that. John should be understanding. I mean, I'm not saying he's not, but of like, good on you. You got me before I got you.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a good lesson for survivor people, just because somebody is like, you find somebody that's like, hey, that they have the same faith, or they're from the same state, or they went to the same college as me. Don't let your guard down. People are gonna screw you over anyway, no matter what.
Right. I mean, it's a game. You're there, and you don't go in with your faith thinking, oh, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna profess my faith so that everybody will know that. So everybody else that believes in Jesus Christ, we're all gonna align together. I don't go in there with my faith for that. I go in there for my faith, for my own personal strength, so that when I go through things, I know where I can turn. Not so that it'll draw people to me. I do it for my own personal, this is what I need. This is my strength. This is what I need to get through the game. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So if Natalie Anderson wins Survivor 29, and of course, Natalie White won Survivor 19, will somebody named Natalie win Survivor 39?
Oh, it's the nine.
Weird.
Oh, well, let's see. Oh, no. That's how many years from now then?
That would be 5 years. 5 years from now, right?
5 years from now.
Oh. Sure. Why not?
Yes. That's right.
I like it. I like it.
Natalie the Ninth. I like it.
Laura, can you believe it's been 5 years since Survivor Samoa?
No, honestly. What season were you on, Rob?
I was on season 6 originally.
Okay. Yeah, doesn't it just seem like 2 years ago, maybe?
No, it seems like it was 30 years ago.
you want to go back, right?
No, I don't want to go.
You're done. You're
yeah, I'm retired.
I know. That's kind of how I feel at this point. But
she'd go back.
I don't know.
Yeah. And Sierra really wants to go back.
Sierra will definitely go back.
I'll go back, but I'll come home a millionaire.
Oh. Now, Sierra, do you hope that the next time you play, do you hope it's against people who have never been on the show before? Do you want to come back and be like a Tyson who is in a season playing against people who are playing for the first time?
Funny story. Quick one. Just recently I was talking about to Tyson, actually, about like, if I ever go back, you know, just like, this is what I do. And Tyson says to me in like this evil, evil voice. And he's like, Sierra, playing with new kids is like stealing candy from a baby. And I literally was like, you sound so evil right now, but it's just funny because I think I got a great experience because I was able to play with new people and returning players. And I don't think for me it would really matter because I have the experience ID now to maybe know a little bit more. But also I think I would have an advantage if I was playing against just new players. So I don't know, either way.
Have you thought about calling out Baylor so they maybe start a Baylor versus Sierra season?
That's not even fair.
Baylor, if you're listening, Baylor, it's on. May the best daughter win.
Have you listened to any of Baylor's music?
I have. Actually, I really enjoy her.
Yeah.
I downloaded one of her little things on iTunes and I think she's pretty good. I enjoyed listening to her.
Was it this one? This is a sticky situation.
Oh yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
You guys,
Yeah. All right. Well, that you got to say that you didn't like it. Otherwise, this season has no juice.
Oh, well, no. I'll send you a video of my daughter singing.
No.
Why? Sierra, do you have a video?
Oh, yes, Rob. She does. Rob. She sings amazing.
No,
she,
Rob.
She wins. We have this AmeriTidal Idol that we do in town, and her and my son are asked every year to perform in it, and they're, like, always in the top three.
Laura,
You know I can't rap.
It's coming, Rob.
Yes. Laura, who would win a singing competition between Baylor and Laura? Baylor and Sierra.
Like me?
Yeah.
Oh, Sierra, hands down.
Yes.
Hands down. I'm not just saying that. Wait till you see her. She's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
She doesn't play guitar. She doesn't play an instrument. But she looks really cute.
Do you think we'll see Baylor perform at the Survivor finale?
Well, look what it did to Chase Wright.
Yeah, how about that?
Man, that boy is killing it. I know. I don't think so.
Will Chase Rice perform at the Survivor finale?
That would be sweet.
God, I would
go.
You should sing Ready, Set, Let's Roll.
Yeah, they can't afford him, right?
They can't afford him at this point, though. He's doing good. I'm happy for him.
Now, were you guys rooting for Dale and Kelly because they're also from the Northwest?
Are they?
Yeah, right? They're from, what, Washington?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I really liked Kelly.
Yeah.
I didn't love Dale. He reminded me of, like, an evil villain on a cartoon.
Really?
Yeah, he just was kind of, I don't know. But I really liked her. I thought she would do a lot better.
You know what's sad? With people that get voted out early, you don't get a, you know, you don't really get a press into their lives and find out too much about them. But no. I
like that they're from Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take some questions here for you guys from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. Lots of good questions came in for you guys. All right, let's start with Jeff Pittman. He has a question, wants to know, is Laura relieved or disappointed that it's now mathematically impossible for Baylor to break Laura's record of 19 votes against you in one season?
Yeah, I'm proud to hold that record, right? I mean, you know that people want you out of that game, and hopefully it's because you're a threat, not because they don't like you. But
Laura, you said that Baylor didn't have a target on her back. She was closing in on your record.
Well, yeah.
Small target.
I wasn't worried.
All right. Let's see. How about this question? From Gavin Costello wants to know, does Sierra...
Gavin Costello. Oh, okay.
He wants to know, does Sierra ever call Laura Homie G? Did you remember this when Baylor said this to Missy?
Shut your mouth, Homie G.
She called her mom Homie G.
No.
I would have walked over there and spanked her butt in front of national TV and said, don't you ever talk to your mother that way.
You wouldn't have said,
I'm not talking to you. Well, I heard smarty it. Poo.
Not talking to you, smarty poo?
No. I would not have said, I'm not talking to you, smarty poo. I would have clean up your potty mouth or you're going to get a spanking.
Homie G.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, I don't really have a nickname for my mom. Do I? My mom calls me Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah, just to be obnoxious. So maybe I need to come up with like a good one for her.
Why do you call her Ralph?
Because we were talking one night about how everybody was named after somebody. And Sierra's middle name is Ray. And Ray was the middle name of my grandpa. And his first name was Ralph. And so I'm like, well, we could have just called you Ralph. And so now from this point on, we call her Ralph.
Okay.
Not that funny.
And Sierra, you don't like that, right?
I guess like if it was like a one-time thing and it was said, it'd be fine. But like for like 20 years of my life, she thinks it's like the funniest thing ever. And she'll say it like this the most awkward times. And I'm like, just stop with the 20 years later. It was funny for like 10 seconds.
No, she calls me Lorem.
Lorem?
Lorem. Yeah. That's Tyson and Jervis called me because remember you had a Laura B and a Laura M, and so they'd start saying Laura. That's my nickname is Laura.
Okay. And so Rupert's wife is Lorib.
Should. Yeah.
All right. This is from Dave Baker wants to know, would you work with Missy and Baylor or against them if you were on the same season? Would you guys team up with the other mother and daughter pair?
I would say no, simply because people would want to get rid of the mother-daughter pair, and they would want to get rid of the more threatening ones, which would have been us. So we'd want to get rid of them first.
I think the trick is to be aligned surface-wise with everybody. So I would want to be friendly and cordial and whatever with Missy and Baylor, but I would always need to try and be one step ahead of them. Because like she said, you have to be thinking down the road, and you know, people are going to be coming after one of the pairs, and if we're the stronger one, you know.
But look at, I mean, we made it pretty, Tina and Katie.
Yeah.
Made it pretty far in the game too. And, but the thing with them is we never really necessarily worked with them, and we never necessarily worked against them.
Or me and Katie at the beginning, but that was because, you know, like we didn't have our moms for a long time. So we were always together. But the second that we merged and we both had our moms, we separated. She went with her mom and I went, you know, or my mom came, she went with her mom and my mom came with me.
Right. And then, so we never, we kind of had our cliques. She had her group with Vetus and Aris, and then we had ours with Jervis and Tyson, and then Caleb and Hayden were floating in the middle of Sierra, with Sierra somewhere.
And also, but as far as Missy and Baylor go, you know, like we talked about earlier, there's definite benefits to being aligned with them because we could beat that. And they seem, Missy obviously is way more loyal than Baylor would have been. So yeah, that was a good thing about, you know, taking Missy.
Right.
I don't know. I might say yes, actually.
What is it about mothers and daughters where, you know, out of the three mother-daughter pairs that we've seen between you two, between Tina and Katie, between Missy and Baylor, all of them have gone pretty far into the game, probably better than any other configuration of husband-wives or brothers or whatever. Why? What is it about mother and daughters why they've gone so far in these Blood versus Water seasons?
Well, I think it's a bunch of different reasons. One, women and mothers are generally more nurturing, so people like that around camp. I mean, you know, they like to make sure that there's somebody there taking care of things. And like Missy is very nurturing. You can see that she's always caring for people around camp. Also, we're not that big of a threat. I remember when we came in on day one. Remember we had that half day where you had to spend the night? And then on day one, we all kind of came together and everybody said, we all talked about like, what'd you guys think? And we were thinking about where Caleb is at. And everybody said, all we could think about is, oh my gosh, where are Laura and Sierra? How are they surviving? Because they thought, oh my gosh, this mother daughter's going to be screwed out alone in the jungle by themselves. So I think they completely underestimate you. And
also for me too, some of it has to do with, you know, the relationships when you're out there with your fiance or even a brother, or I don't know. I know that there's like, I don't want to say not an unconditional love, but just a very different, maybe bickering love. Whereas like a mother daughter, you are very used to listening to your mom. And at the same time, you know, there's nothing that you can say. There's nothing I could say to my mom that like she would ever turn on me, or you know what I mean? Whereas that might not necessarily be true for your brother. Like, if I got with my brother, I would vote him out in a second. That was like the hardest thing for me, you know, to do.
Not that she didn't vote her mother out in a second.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was more difficult because you have a connection that is bound by blood and yeah, one that is just a thousand times. I don't know. I just think even father-daughter, that might still be blood, but like it's not as, I'm close with my dad.
But it's different with your mom.
Even, yeah, I don't know. It's just different with your mother. She birthed me.
Yeah.
I carried her in my womb for 9 months.
What if it was a mother and a son?
Oh.
Well, my mom and my brothers would not work because my brothers would, like, get so annoyed with my mom.
Yeah. So you don't think that, but would the sons be more protective of the moms? Would that be a totally different dynamic, or it depends on the relationship?
Not my sons. I don't think my boys do, Sierra.
Maybe. I don't know. That's interesting that you say that. I could maybe see that. that they might be more take lead and more, you know, protective of their mom and maybe carrying the mom. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we need a guy out there that's going to be like, what'd you say about my mama?
Yeah. Like, I don't think my boys would do that. I think the one thing that my boys would like to be able to do, though, is like Sierra said, is even my boys, I will arm wrestle them. I will leg wrestle them. I'll do whatever I can. And they get so irritated because obviously at this point in their life, they can beat me. I don't tell them that they can beat me and it still irritates them because the last time we wrestled, they were probably 9 and I beat them. So at this point, I'm like, you guys have never beat me. But I think that for them to go out there and to beat me in a challenge, you know, like a physical challenge or something, I think would be mean a lot to them, don't you?
No. No. My mom thinks, like, this is not even a joke. This is dead serious right now. She thinks she can beat everybody. She probably thinks she can beat Brad Culpepper at, like...
I did! I sent him home.
No, I would say an arm wrestling match. Arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling. Could you beat Brad Culpepper at arm wrestling?
I can beat him in leg wrestling. I flip him like a pancake. Arm wrestling...
What is leg wrestling?
Leg wrestling is when you lay on your backs and, like, my head is at your hip and your head is at my hip and... the inside legs, you lift them up. Like, does that make sense? Like an L.
I'll be honest. I'm a little lost. I think I need a diagram.
I'll send you a video and that's what
whoa.
But literally she thinks she can, like my youngest brother is like 6'2" and like huge. And she thinks she can beat him up. And like, it's like my brother's like so annoyed by it. Because he's like, she literally thinks she can beat anybody up. And it's just the weirdest thing. And then even if he were to beat her up, she would probably like be like, well, I was doing my left hand. I wasn't even really trying.
Laura, could you beat Natalie Anderson in leg wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. All right. Maybe for the off season. Maybe.
Yeah, I can. And Sierra knows because I
could. Sierra, yes, you're buying this?
I mean, she probably could beat Natalie.
See?
Wow.
See, I mean, she'll tell it like it is.
But that's like, here's another example. When my mom and I did that challenge on knock the person into the water challenge, after that, after my mom kicks my butt and pushes me in the water, which I already knew was going to happen before we even did it. But then once we did it, I got all this flack from like Marissa. And she's like, I could beat my mom. I could beat my mom at this. And I'm like, well, the funny thing is, Marissa, if you were going up against my mom, she would have knocked your butt freaking in the water in 2 seconds.
Thanks, Sierra.
Yeah. Sierra, could you have beaten Marissa's mom?
Maybe not. I'm not a very physical person like that.
Okay.
I mean, now that I've done it, I would go in with way more confidence. That probably would help me. But
well, you know what? What they didn't show was obviously we had to do the best. Well, we did 2 out of 3, but they only showed one. And they showed the one when Sierra went up against Kat. The first time she went up against Kat, Kat almost went in the water. They were brawling up there for like good 3 to 5 minutes. Sierra was not going in the water. And then they showed the second one where Kat just kind of pushed her in.
Because I was so pooped from the first one.
But I was so proud of her because when she went up against Kat, Kat is a physical girl. And Sierra did not give it up. And she was fighting and almost pushed Kat in the water. So,
but I knew going in that I wasn't going to be physical. So like my whole thing was just like, you know, just don't die.
That's important.
Yeah.
You can't win if you die. Ask Russell Swan.
Yeah. No, you cannot.
All right. Here's a question. This is from Ron from Toronto wants to know, Laura, what has a better chance of happening? Keith winning Survivor or Russell and John Fincher getting a Christmas card from you? What's more likely to happen?
Keith winning Survivor.
Okay. Because you already said you think he's going to win.
I already think No.
Are you rooting for him?
I'm rooting for him to win. I mean, or John and Russell getting a Christmas card for him. I don't even think that they celebrate Christmas, do they?
I'm pretty sure Russell does. Yeah, I think they celebrate Christmas.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas, boys. I know you're listening.
All right. This is a good question from Ian Rice. Wants to know, do you think that the new Russell Hance could ever win Survivor? Now, Russell's been tweeting that he's been going back and watching all of the seasons to study so that he can have a better understanding of the game. Do you think that Russell has a chance now because he's studying the social game?
No, let me tell you something. The only way the Menahuni is going to win is if he goes to charm school.
What do you call him? The Menahuni?
A Menahuni.
What is a Menahuni?
A Menahuni, it's a Hawaiian legend. Google Menahuni, and it's a Hawaiian legend of like 3-foot-tall little troll.
Oh, Laura, come on. It's the Christmas spirit.
I don't think that Russell could win. Not because I don't think that he's maybe capable of being kind. I'm saying because of his reputation thus far. I think that anybody who's, you know, seen the show or played the show or anything wouldn't believe it.
Right.
I wouldn't believe. I mean, even if he were like the knife, you know, kicked
my butt. I think he's kind of like going in with Rupert did at the first season. You know, you go in, you have a big target. Everybody knows who you are. Everyone knows how you play. You can't really sneak up on people when you're a big elephant in the room.
Is there anything he can do? Can you have any advice?
No.
No,
I don't think time travel machine.
So a time machine. Where should he go?
Back to like maybe his first season and redo it all.
Five years ago this week. Yeah.
Yes, 5 years ago this week. I think our season finale was on the 19th.
But he needs to go back to even when they were filming because he needs to redo it all.
Like when he was 3.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that was a fun finale. Should Russell have given Natalie White $20,000 to be the sole survivor then? Did he shoot too low?
No, I thought he said he was going to. How much did he offer her?
I thought he said 10.
To get that title.
Yeah, it's for the title.
Yeah, he should have said, I'll give you my $100,000.
I think she should have done it. I think that was a bad move on her part. Yeah.
Like you believed he would have ever
So you're saying that you needed the check first.
Yeah, you would have looked like you just gave up your title, then you would have never gotten your money. So she was actually smart saying that.
Yeah, but it's not like wrestling. They don't give you a belt when you win.
I know.
They just give you the check.
They give you a check and they get your name up on, you know.
On the website, maybe. All right. Miles Nye has a question about Laura's challenge proficiency. Laura, you won what I consider to be the best immunity challenge of all time in Samoa, which was square peg round hole. Can you tell the story of what it was like to play that game and win it? I seem to remember the game ending with Shambo still holding the first piece in her hand. And also, since you were both key puzzle solvers in Blood vs. Water, could you tell some stories about doing puzzles together or separately? Now, Miles Knight, he is a consultant for the challenges on Survivor. So he's very, very into the challenges. Yes. Can you tell us about square peg round hole?
Yeah. Okay. So square peg round hole, the reason why they did show Shambo holding the one peg was that you had two bags and only one of the pegs would have started the puzzle. So Mick and Shambo both opened just one bag first and they started to do their puzzle. So it looked like that they were just going off, but they didn't have the right peg. I opened both of my bags first. It doesn't really show that in the editing, but that's what happened. So it looks like Shambo and Mick were already going off on their puzzle, but I knew I needed both pegs to determine what one went in the hole first. And so this is going to just take you back to my faith for a little bit because it just is what it is. I'm not preaching at you, but here's what happened. Because before that challenge, we were on like day, I want to say like 24 or something at that point, 25. And your mind is just cluttered. Before I literally prayed, God, give me a clear vision. Help me with this challenge. And I swear to you, the minute that the block would fall down, I had seen exactly where it needed to go before it even fell. So like, and the blocks weren't simple like circles and squares and triangles. They were these weird, odd shapes that if some of them might have fit in other holes, but if you had to force it in and it wasn't the right one, the actual correct one would not fit in the other piece.
Hey, hold on. I have a sound for that.
If you try to force it and it doesn't fit, probably doesn't belong there.
Right?
Yes. Perfect. So a lot of times if you forced it in and then the correct one came out and you tried to put it in the one that looked like it, it wouldn't work and you had to figure it out. So you really had to be cautious. And honestly, Rob, I'm telling you, when I did that puzzle, I think there was 30 slots. I would scan it with my eyes. And the whole time I was talking, I would see a shape. The next one that would come out, it was that exact shape that I saw. And so I was able to just pick it up and just slam it in. And immediately, like, my eye would catch another shape. I swear it was the Lord that completely helped me, because then the next block would fall out and it would be that exact one. I think I had all seven of my in. Mick was the closest and he had seven.
Wow.
I had all 30 and he had seven. And honestly, it was, if people say what they want, it was my faith. Lord gave me a vision. He cleared my head. He helped me with that challenge. But that was a fun one. That was a, that saved my ass. But
Sierra, is that what happened? Is that how you got, what is it? You have to dig deep on blood versus water.
Yeah.
Is that how that happened?
Yes.
Maybe. I think that maybe God helped me not drown in the water. I was so tired that it took all I had to swim to shore. And I kind of knew going in, I was like, if I can make it to the puzzle while they're still doing the puzzle, because people can think what they want to think about me in puzzles. I'm actually not a terrible person at puzzles. I was just always going up against my mom, who's like really good at puzzles, but I'm not bad. So I knew if I could get to the puzzle, I had a chance. But the issue was, I looked over at Monica right before we started, and I look at her and I'm like, Monica, I might drown in the water. And she's like, Sierra, you're not going to drown. Just hold on to the buoy. So I was just so worried about not drowning. But then the second I got there and I saw that everybody was still working on it, I was like, I could totally do this. And we play a game at my house called Cranium, and I'm really good at like the unscrambling the letter stuff.
Okay. Is that how Jervis also learned to swim? Did Jervis's faith help him learn how to swim between the first challenge and later on during the season?
Did he ever learn how to swim?
I thought he did.
I don't ever remember looking at him thinking, man, he can really swim.
All right. Will Olson wants to know, what do the Moretz think about Josh and Reed?
I don't really have an opinion on them.
I think they both knew how to play the game really well. I don't remember which one was which. One of them played way too hard. But I think I liked the fact that they were both lovers of the game.
Yeah.
And they knew the game. So.
Yeah, I would say that's the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought that Josh would go a lot further.
Was Josh the redhead?
Yeah.
Redhead.
Yeah. Or blonde.
Blonde.
Yes.
Was he the ginger type? Yeah.
He's blonde. He's pretty blonde. But if he, I thought he would do, I saw a lot of potential in him early on, at least strategizing. And, you know, I thought he would do a lot better than he did.
Okay. Trevor Chong has a serious question, wants to know, when you guys were playing, who was in the back seat and who was driving? Because, of course, we know Missy said to Baylor,
get in the back seat and let me drive.
Get in the back seat, let me drive. Who was driving the car? Was it Laura?
I think that we had individual cars.
Yeah. Or was it Sierra and then then you kicked your mom out?
I think I hopped into Sierra's car at a time, because when I came out of Redemption Island, I had no idea what was going on in the game. And so I definitely counted on Sierra to say, okay, what's going on? Who's aligned with who? Tell me what's happening in this game. Because I'd been alone in Redemption Island for 10, 12 days.
It's just a totally different situation, because they got to play together. You probably would have seen one of us leading a little bit more had we been together more. But like, she had her own car, I had my own car, then she hopped in my back seat and I drove for a while, then I told her she needed to get out.
There's a carpool.
This is where you get out.
She hopped in her own car and then she got in an accident. And then I ran into her right after that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a good example of comparing our two games. Sierra and I never told each other how to play. Kind of like with Baylor and Missy are kind of telling each other, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. I think Sierra and I are both kind of like, okay, what's happening, what's the perception.
There was one point in time at the challenge where you had to hold onto that rope and slowly dangle yourself over the water until you like fell in.
Oh, yeah.
So Monica won that. Right before that challenge, we had talked about voting out my mom, me and Tyson and Jervis and Hayden and Caleb. And so I kind of knew that she was going to go, but like, I didn't want to tell her because I knew if I told her, she would win that challenge. And not that I didn't want her to win, but I didn't want to go home. So I was kind of faced in like, do I tell my mom that she could potentially go? But then if she wins the challenge, I could potentially go. So I just left it and said, you know what? She's going to do her own thing and play her own game. And I'm going to do my own thing and play my own game.
And I didn't know, I thought I didn't want to, well, I knew I didn't want to win that challenge because I had just come out of Redemption Island. And so I didn't want to be a challenge threat. So at that point, we were just like, I'm not saying that I was throwing, oh yeah, I was, we just weren't trying in the challenges because I knew that, well, I felt that I wasn't going to go home. And we already had our targets. We were going to do Vetus and Aris and Katie and Tina. And so as long as I wasn't on the top, it was just like, all right, someone else can win. So I just dropped out. And then got voted out. So lesson learned.
All right. Here's a question from Jordan Chong wants to know, Sierra, is Laura a girl or a mom? I want to play you an exchange from a couple of episodes ago and then get your take on this. This was back when they had the pecking order challenge, and then Reed was getting into an argument first with Missy and then with Baylor.
That's my kid.
Girl, I know it's your kid.
It's a girl. She's a mom.
Yeah. So do you remember that episode?
Yes.
And Reed was talking about how, you know, he said, Jacqueline, we love you. And he called Baylor a brat. And then Missy got mad and said, don't talk to my kid that way. And he said, listen, girl. and then, yeah. And she said, don't call her a girl. She's a mom.
I know it's your kid.
It's a girl. She's a mom.
Yeah, she's a mom. Sierra, would you get mad if somebody in Survivor referred to Laura as a girl?
No. No, I wouldn't get mad, but my mom probably would be like, wait a second.
Yeah, don't go. Listen here, youngster. Don't call me a girl.
I would be more scared that he said it. I'd be scared for him. I probably would have been like, you're okay, well, you're in for it.
You just opened a whole can of, oh no.
But shouldn't the right response be, hey, she's not a girl. She's a woman, not she's a mom.
Well, from Baylor's point of view, maybe she was thinking like, you know, have a little bit more respect for like your elders and that's her mom, you know?
Right.
But from a game's point of view, Reed, I mean, there's probably really nothing wrong with, I mean.
Right. I mean, Missy should have said, listen, son, I don't appreciate you talking to my daughter that way. You need to learn some respect.
Honestly, Missy
and shut him down.
Missy probably should have just been quiet because Baylor kind of was a brat.
Yeah, she was. She kind of.
So, Laura, now we know that this isn't the case, but if you were out there on Survivor and say for, you know, whatever reason, you know, Brad Culpepper or somebody called Sierra a brat in front of you, what would you have said? Would you have acted in the same way as Missy, or would you have let cooler heads prevail?
Well, actually, the funny thing is on day one of our show, I don't know if you remember it or not, but when we were both lined up and Laura B was
Laura
was getting into it with Marissa because Marissa wrote Laura's name down. So they were kind of going back and forth. And then out of the blues, my sweet little quiet Ralph chimes up and says, well, Laura, you're doing the same thing. You're saying not to take it personal and you're over there taking it personal. And I remember looking over at her like with the mother's eyes that are like, shut your pie hole and do not say another word. And Sierra kind of looked at me and all you had to do to give her was that mother's look of like, Sierra, be quiet. And the look on her eyes was kind of like, oh, sorry. So, you know, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have said something to Sierra later, you know, and said, okay, Sierra, look at you're being a brat. Or to Brad Culpepper, I would have said, hey, how would you have liked it if I called your kid out on national TV and called him a douchebag because, you know, of what he did? So let's have a little common respect.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Ralph, you almost blew it.
day one, I almost blew it. I learned, though.
Okay. Let's see. How about all right, this is a question from Linda Graham, who says, what about the players openly discussing who will win reward, giving up rewards? This season is a combination of the game shows Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right, and the dating game. What's been your take on all of this trading that's gone on this season?
Oh, it bothers me, actually. You know, first off, when it comes to somebody falling on the sword for somebody or somebody deciding to win or lose a challenge, I agree that there is strategy to some extent to maybe deciding to throw a challenge or to not try your hardest or to let somebody else win. But the way that I played the game, I would never be okay with any of that went on. And as far as the trading goes, with like getting rice and getting a new flint, that is just ridiculous, because it's like, I almost feel like if I ever went back, I should just eat all the rice on day one and then ask for more.
It's a good idea.
Or hide it in your trail mix bag like Julie did and then get in trouble.
Yeah. Trail mix scandal.
Trail mix scandal. I agree. I think that there's nothing more frustrating than playing a game for $1 million. Okay. There's no second prize $1 million. One person gets it. And to play with people that are just happy to just kind of get to the end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is on these challenges, where they're just kind of like, oh, here's a reward. Yeah. How often are you going to be able in the Philippines and do these awesome, amazing things? I get their strategy sometimes, but to just not have that desire and that hunger to say, no, I'm fighting for this. And not only that, I want to play against people that are fighting for it as well. Just so that I don't, like Missy, she won that. Oh, big deal. She won it. Jeff handed it to her. What reward is that for her?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And I think it's something that they're going to have to deal with in the future seasons. They sort of made their bed this season.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely did.
Okay, I got one last question for you guys. This is from Doubtful Theodi Mupagu, who says... I definitely butchered that name. Do you think there's still a possibility of a Sierra-ing this season? Is there any chance that Baylor will vote Missy out before the final three?
I think so. And if it does, obviously Missy is going to tell her to write my name down so that you can have something on your resume, and you're going to need something to win. So let's make it big. I'll act like she'll definitely do something so that Baylor looks like she made this decision. Sorry, that's my dog.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to make sure I have this clear. So you think that there's a chance it could happen, but if it does happen, it will only be because Missy told her to do it.
Yeah. It's not going to be because Baylor has this genius plan to all of a sudden blindside my mom. And it's not like it's going to be a big move for Baylor. It's just going to be something so that she can say, I'm the only one that voted my loved one out.
So do you think that should not count when we talk about people who voted their moms out of Survivor, Sierra?
No, that doesn't count.
Does not count.
Does not count.
We won't count it. Sierra, does Baylor have a shot at being Miss Survivor this year?
Sure. Sure. Maybe. Maybe.
Who is she going to go up against?
Well, me.
Just kidding. No.
No, I could see it. Her and Missy definitely are characters.
Oh no, Jacqueline.
Oh yeah,
Jacqueline. Hello, that girl is so beautiful.
Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Sierra, I was talking to Andrea the other day, and she was telling me that going into Miss Survivor, she said going up against other people that had never done Miss Survivor before, she said it was like taking candy from a baby.
She would. Well, she did out-rap me.
I thought that was messed up. Yeah.
This next time, I would just be way more prepared with my rap and maybe get her to help me.
Okay, well, when you're an all-star, then you got to talk to her.
Yep, there you go.
Okay. All right, well, Laura and Sierra, thank you guys so much for coming on. This really was perfect timing to hear from you guys right before the finale. What are you guys going to watch the finale together?
Do you want to watch it together?
We could. I don't know. I'm usually in bed by that time.
So you'll watch it the next day on DVR?
Yeah, isn't that bad?
I'll watch it.
Okay.
I'll watch it and I'll probably text her.
She usually will. She'll text me or something while I'm trying to sleep and say, oh my gosh, can you believe that? And I have to wake up and watch it. And
yeah.
Then I can't sleep, so.
Okay, and then Laura, will you not watch it if what you want to happen doesn't happen?
No, I'll still watch it. I can't help myself.
You'll still watch it if Missy wins?
Oh, I wouldn't mind if Missy wins. I would just rather have Keith or Natalie or Jeremy or John or Julie or Reed
Julie?
Or John win.
What if Baylor wins? Will you still watch it if Baylor wins?
If Baylor wins, I'll be frustrated.
Yeah, it would be frustrating.
Will you turn it off, Sierra, if they say that Baylor wins and not watch the reunion?
I will turn it off, and I will probably throw stuff at my TV.
She's just kidding.
All right. Now, I like to give people a hashtag to use if they make it to the end of the podcast. Do you guys have an idea for a hashtag from this conversation?
Well, Team Moret.
Hashtag Ralph.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you guys so much. You want to give people your Twitter? Are you guys still tweeting?
Yep, I'm at Laura Moret.
At Sierra Easton.
Boom, very easy. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Laura and Sierra back here on Rob's podcast. Very fun interview with Laura and Sierra, and they're pumped up, and you get the feeling, not rooting for a Baylor and Missy win. And I feel like if I was them, I probably wouldn't be either, because you got to protect your turf when you're the survivor. Just like for years after Jeff Probst said I was the smartest player never to win, I used to tune into the finale and say, boy, I hope Jeff Probst doesn't call anybody else the smartest player to never win. So if you've got a turf, if you're the mom and daughter of Blood versus Water, you gotta protect that. You gotta make sure nobody's gonna come in and steal that from you. So I can totally understand why maybe Laura and Sierra aren't going crazy with support for Baylor and Missy on Wednesday night. But we'll see how it's all going to work out. I'm very excited. Can't wait to talk to you. The next time you'll hear from me will be live after the finale with Stephen Fishback on Wednesday night. So be sure and join us. I think that the new website can handle it. I don't think we're going to crash or go down or anything, crash and burn on Wednesday night. So I'm very excited about that. I'm also pumped up for our coverage of the finale after Wednesday, which is going to be our big, we're going to record it on Thursday. You'll hear it on Friday. We're going to do a wrap up of the season. Myself and Josh Wiggler, we're going to get together. So you're going to get your voicemails in one more time for Survivor San Juan del Sur. And then this Friday, I'm very excited because the audiobook that I've been working on since July, volume one, is going to be released of the evolution of strategy. Myself and Josh Wiggler have gone back and have watched every single season of Survivor or have started that journey. And volume one is going to be available for free. Chapter one, you can check that out, of Survivor Borneo. That's going to be available on Friday. And you can make sure you sign up. You'll get it delivered to your inbox when you go to robhaswebsite.com/30for30, because we're watching 30 seasons in honor of season 30, which is right around the corner. You could sign up for the free download of chapter one of The Evolution of Strategy. robhaswebsite.com/30for30. That's F-O-R, 30 for 30. All right, so, boy, I don't want this podcast to end, because if it ends, then it's going to be the finale, but I don't have a choice because it's that time. I can't believe how fast the season went by. We will be live Wednesday night for the final know-it-alls of the season and of the year, Wednesday night, 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Have a great Survivor finale. I'll be live tweeting the whole show. So again, I won't be tweeting spoilers or anything like that, or like things that are going to like, but if you're on the West Coast, just you don't want to be on Twitter for the Survivor finale. Don't let it get ruined for you. Anyway, if you're on the East Coast, hope you join me at Rob Sestradino. Have a great Survivor finale, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.